Kunja Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopijana Ballabha Girivardhari. Gopijana Ballabha Girivardhari. Yashoda Nandana Bhaja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Bhaja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tida Manachari. Yamuna Tira Manachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivardhari. Gopijana Ballabha Girivardhari. Yashoda Nandana Bhaja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Bhaja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari.
Yam Shubhad Brahmhamsa Parivraj Vijaya Hasta Sarasa Chuchi Madhavai Chana Arvinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shila Prabhupada Kijaya Anant Koti Vaishnava Vinda Kijaya Srimad Bhagavatam Granth Raj Kijaya Itai Gaur Premananda. Prabhupada Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, is that 54? Chapter 54, verse 18. Please repeat after me. Rukmi tu rakshaso dvaham. Rukmi tu rakshaso dvaham. Krishna dvid asahans vasu. Krishna dvid asahans vasu. Prishtato nvagamat. Krishnam Prishtaton Vagamat Krishnam Aksho Hinyabito Bali Aksho Hinyabito Bali Rukmi tu Rakshasodvaham. Krishna dvid asahan svasu. Prishtaton vagamat Krishnam. Aksho hinya vito bali. Rukmi tu rakshasodvaham. Krishna dvid asahan svasu. Prishtaton vagamat Krishnam. Aksho hinya vito bali. Rukmi tu rakshasodvaham. Krishna dvid asahan svasu. Prishtaton vagamat Krishnam. Aksho hinya vito bali. Rukmi tu rakshasodvaham. Krishna dvid asahan svasu. Prishtaton vagamat Krishnam. Aksho hinya vrito bali. Ladies. Rukmi tu rakshasodvaham. Word for word. Rukmi. Rukmi. Tu. However. Rakshasa. In the style of demons. Udvaham. The marriage. Krishna dvit. The hater of Krishna. Asahan. Unable to bear. Svasu. Of his sister. Prishtata. From behind. Anvagamat. He followed. Krishnam. Lord Krishna. Akshauhinya. By an entire Akshauhini division. Brita. Surrounded. Bali. Powerful.
There's another 8 more verses, but we'll do them as we go along. We'll do them together, or mostly you'll be doing them. Okay, so the translation of this verse is, powerful Rukmini, however, was especially envious of Krishna. He could not bear the fact that Krishna had carried off his sister to marry her in the Rakshasa style. Thus, he pursued the Lord with an entire military division. And now, text 19 and 20, we'll say all together. Let's start it. This is Satsam. Translation. Frustrated and enraged, mighty armed Rukmini, dressed in armor and wielding his bow, had sworn before all the kings, I shall not again enter Kundina if I do not kill Krishna in battle and bring Rukmini back with me. I swear this to you. Purport. Rukmini spoke these angry words and then set off in pursue Lord Krishna as described in the following verses. So he took a vow here. He's vowing this, and he's a man of his word. Okay. So, text 21. Eat. Having said this, he had mounted his chariot and told his charioteer, drive the horses quickly to where Krishna is. He and I must fight. Text 22. Translation. This wicked-minded cowherd boy, infatuated with his own prowess, has violently abducted my sister. But today, I will remove his pride with my sharp arrows. And there's a small purport. Srila Sridhar Swami explains that Gopal Vatsya actually means of the protector of the Vedas, while Durmata means of him whose beautiful mind is compassionate even towards the wicked. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur adds that the real meaning of what Rukmini said is that today, fighting with Lord Krishna, Rukmini will relieve himself of his pretensions of being a great hero. That's Mother Goddess of Learning Saraswati. She always reads into these things and explains it for us to actually what he means. But he's covered, so he'll be the last to find out. Text 23. Ishvara Anavit Govinda. Boasting thus, foolish Rukmini, ignorant of the true extent of the Supreme Lord's power, approached Lord Govinda in his lone chariot and challenged him. Just stand and fight, purport. It appears from these verses that Rukmini set out with an entire military division. He personally rushed up to Lord Krishna to fight with him. 24. No. Rukmini drew his bow and with great strength struck Lord Krishna with 3 arrows. Then he said, stand here for a moment, O defiler of the Yadu dynasty. Purport. Srila Sridhar Swami points out that the Kula Pamsana may be understood as a combination of the words Kula Pa, O master of the Yadu dynasty, and Amshana, O expert killer of enemies. The Acharya gives the grammatical details that make this interpretation possible. Also, those three arrows, they were representing his three vows that he took, that I'm going to kill Krishna, I'm going to bring Rukmini back. I forgot the other one. And I'm not going to go back unless... Okay. So, 25, is it now?
Yes. Yes.
Wherever you go, carrying off my sister like a crow stealing the sacrificial butter, I will follow. This very day I shall relieve you of your false pride, O fool, you deceiver, you cheater in battle. Purport. In this hysterical attack, Rukmini displays the very qualities he attributes to Sri Krishna. Every living being as part and parcel of the Lord and belongs to the Lord. Therefore, Rukmini was like a crow trying to steal the sacrificial offering meant for the enjoyment of the Lord. And text 26. Release the girl before you are struck dead by my arrows and made to lie down. In response to this, Lord Krishna smiled, and with six arrows, he struck Rukmini and broke his bow. Purport. Srila Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur points out, in fact, that Lord Krishna was meant to lie down together with Rukmini on a beautiful bed of flowers. But out of shyness, Rukmini did not directly mention this point. So there's definitely a sense of humor going on here with this. Om Ajnana Timiram Dasyatana Janasalakaya Chaksumari Tanyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Jayatam Suryato Pangora Mamamanda Matirkati Matsarva Sapatambo Jo Radha Madana Mohano. So in these verses here, I was thinking that why do we think that Rukmini did anything wrong? Here he gets his sister kidnapped by, a lot of times people think that Krishna is a Vaishya and his sister is a Kshatriya, so that's not right. So he's a man of his word. He's certainly very pious that he take birth as a prince to heir of a great throne. So why would we think that he did anything wrong? He's acting with valor and heroism. And from the way it looks, do you think that he did something wrong? Does anybody think he did anything wrong? Nobody thinks he did anything wrong in this group. Oh, well. Kaliyapani thinks he may have done something wrong. So Kaliyapani thinks that he's acting in a separatist mentality. He's acting in regard to his family. You have to protect your family. So, all right, I'm going to do the change up here, that Acharya Van Purusho Veda, how it is, Prabhupada has trained us how to think. Prabhupada, like Leelananda gave a nice class on Saturday, and he mentioned how he's being rewired. He gave the example of a little lizard taking out of his heater because he's been trained. So Prabhupada has said he's training us how to think, how to see everything philosophically. So when we look at this philosophically, we can understand, well, of course, he may have had some mundane morality, He may have actually been following Varnashram. He may actually have many, many apparently good qualities. But Krishna says he probably hadn't read the Bhagavad Gita. In the Bhagavad Gita, Sarvadhamma Pratyajaya, says you have to give up all forms of religious and occupational duties and just surrender. So he wasn't with that one. So Prabhupada, he's trained us to think a certain way, and we call it philosophically. And he says, in that way we'll be able to remember Krishna. And that's our sadhana is. Our sadhana is to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. In fact, just a little story. 2 days ago, someone gave me an iPod and says that you could reformat it. So I looked to see what was on it, and it had all the, 985 songs on it. So I looked at a couple of them, and I listened to a couple, and there were old ones that I knew a couple. And I noticed each thought that we have has a philosophy in each thought. And it also has a siddhanta in each thought. And we're trained now to be able to detect that. So as soon as I heard one thought, I said, well, this is karma, kanda. I heard another one, this is existentialism. This is another one, voidism. And all these songs that we hear, they all have different siddhantas. They all have different philosophies. So I was thinking of how our philosophy is what's changing. Every day we come to class, Nitya Bhagavata Seva, and we hear. So Prabhupada said, I got a couple quotes naturally to establish this point, because Prabhupada said Krishna, Prabhupada said it in the Bhagavad Gita 17:15, that when you speak in learned circles, you always have to quote Shastra to back up any point that you make. So here it says, we should try to understand Krishna philosophically. We should not go away because there is talk of philosophy. So this lecture here was being told on, I think it was on a Radhastami day, and everybody generally, especially in India, they all like sahaja type of listening qualities. They just want very intimate talks. So they may have been leaving, so Prabhupada points out, if there is a story, you may be interested, and he laughs. But hearing stories only, we are trying to forget Krishna, you see. Any religion, if it's not based on philosophy, one day it will be forgotten. It will be lost. So this is happening. There are so many Krishna temples, but there is no discussion of Krishna philosophy. So Prabhupada is making a point here. In another place, he says, there's a certain class of men who are simply philosophizing, that there is a certain class of men and there are also a certain class of men that blindly follow religious ritualistic process. So the Bhagavad Gita is the combination of both. This is scientific. You should be religious, but should understand everything philosophically. Because then he gave that famous quote that we always like, religion without philosophy and philosophy without religion. He gives those two. That if you have religion without philosophy, it's sentiment, sometimes fanaticism. If you have philosophy without religion or the practice, then it's just can be a mental concoction, because it's not practical how to do it. Theoretical. Otherwise, one becomes a fanatic, religious fanatic. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is clearly said, Chaitanya Yara Kata Karta Vaichara. You people, you try to understand the gifts of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by your philosophical understanding, not blindly, philosophically. So that was a lecture in Los Angeles. And then another place in the Bhagavatam, he says, philosophically, we can understand that Lord Krishna and his remembrances are on the absolute plane. So I was having a little discussion this morning that this philosophy, this is Krishna. It's not different from Krishna. It's on the absolute plane. And actually, we're learning how to see Krishna everywhere by the philosophy, by this And just like here, we had a nice moral person who's doing a seemingly heroic deed, even though not many people agreed with him. And so in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives us a transcendental philosophy. And he says every living entity in this world is born into delusion of the duality overcome by desire and hate. So we're learning absolute Krishna consciousness, and we're overcoming the duality of matter and spirit. There's two. Matter and spirit is duality. When you realize Krishna, there's no more matter. It doesn't matter. You use it in Krishna's service, and then it becomes like a red-hot iron, becomes fire by heating it up. So the tapa, you engage it in Krishna's service, and then it's non-different from Krishna. So he gives a couple different points in the Bhagavad Gita. He says earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. This comprises the separated material energy. So they're in a order, actually, and that order is expressed in the Bhagavatam in 10.88.4, where he says these 16 elements, even though that was 8, you can expand them a little, have evolved as transformations of the false ego. When a devotee of Lord Shiva worships his manifestation in any one of these elements, devotees obtain all sorts of corresponding enjoyable opulences. That's a little bit of the context of where this was being spoken by. There was a question by, I think it was Maharaj Yudhisthira, why the devotees of Lord Shiva are opulent, but the devotees of Krishna are not. And this was text 4. By text 8, they got to Yeshaham Anuganami, that Lord Shiva's followers can be, because they have a false ego, they can be given some opulence that's manifested as an expansion of the false ego, where a devotee's opulence is not manifested necessarily through the external energy. It's actually manifested through the internal energy. They're the richest person is a person who's rich in knowledge, rich in philosophy, rich in love for Krishna. That's the real opulence. The other ones are compared to something that can just fade away in time, and this doesn't fade away in time. The knowledge that you get in Krishna consciousness is good forever and ever. It's eternal knowledge. So when we have different situations come up in life, as they do, sometimes devotees, they call them a test. So in one sense, it's a test. In another sense, it's an application to make you stronger, just like in a if you go to a workout center, they have weights, and to make you stronger, they increase the weight. And you say, hey, you just made it harder. Well, you get stronger by overcoming the resistance. So we have different thoughts that come to us because of our previous conditioning in this world. And if you look at it philosophically, you can see what is the philosophy of this thought. What is this, the siddhanta? Where will it go? And then, if you can do that, then Krishna conscious philosophy defeats all others running, and you learn how to tolerate it without being disturbed, which is how Krishna is explaining right in the very beginning the Bhagavad Gita. In fact, I think it's in text 12, he introduces a word, uparashaya. How do you say it right, Pushkar? Uparashaya. I have trouble with these words. But it means it's not man-made. This philosophy that we have is not a creation of this material nature. Just like we know from the six Goswamis, they were very expert in studying all religious scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles, and they're worth taking shelter of because they're absorbed in the mood of the gopis. So here we're seeing an exhibition of someone who, for us, it's almost comical because we're up to the 10th canto. But we didn't just get there by jumping. We've gone systematically. And if you ever do college preaching and you talk to persons that are not devotees, that are coming up through the academic orientation towards Krishna, they're almost speaking the same way, that he's immoral. Look what he did with different other people's wives. So even though we say that, we have to see everything philosophically. And the main thing is to see how our thoughts, each one of our thoughts, without noticing, it's, I think they call them a Trojan virus in computer talk. Anybody know what a Trojan virus is on a computer? It's one of these things that pops up on your screen and says, you have a free scan of your computer. We'll scan your computer to how to make it faster or to check to see if it has any viruses. So it didn't get into your computer yet. It just had a little banner or display. But you click on it. And when you click on it, you let it in the door. So because there's that famous war in Troy, the Trojan horse, they brought that looks like a gift. Beware of gifts or strangers bearing gifts. And Sanatan Goswami, when he was traveling, the person was very nice to him. He said, "Why are you nice to me?" So that same idea, you let them in. And just like that saying by Bhaktisiddhanta, no one can hurt you unless you hurt yourself. So we let these other philosophies in, and we have to always critique it by Krishna consciousness to put it in its correct perspective. And I just remembered the other day, most of us grew up not in Krishna consciousness, and we had some religious training to some degree. And there was one saying that I remember, maybe when I was 5 or 6, it says, "I fear no evil, for thou art with me." Does anybody else remember that one? I think it was a psalm or something. You remember that one. So this is the secret. This is also, even though it was in, I think that's the Old Testament, and we may have lost that secret of how to feel that Krishna is always with us. And you fear nothing when you realize that Krishna is always with you. You're fearless. So how to make that connection? Connection is a word that we can play with for a minute. You know, when Krishna talks about yoga, what he's actually saying is, keep in touch. Because he's your father, the Supreme Father, Aham Prita Bhata. So when he talks about yoga, he's just saying, keep in touch. So anyway, I thought it was cute. So how do you keep in touch? How do you make the connection to Krishna? That's what we're learning. Bhakti mam abhijananti. Always be able to connect to Krishna. So we know it's in the holy name. We're chanting the holy name. And he gives us a format. He said, avoid these 10 offenses. So these 10 offenses, if you have a thought that's not making you happy, chances are it's materially infected. It's a Trojan virus trying to get into your consciousness. And if you have a good firewall, that's fire again, that's tapas, the fire, you're performing this penance, which is to remember your constitutional position as eternal servant of Krishna, meant to bring happiness to Krishna. And he says, it's such a key to understanding everything. So, of course, we understand from when Krishna was talking to Lord Brahma that he was non-deceptive. So he was being honest in his execution of his sambandha jnana and Krishna consciousness, which meant he gave it the priority. He takes it to the priority that this is what I actually want. And here's Krishna helping me become stronger by, well, they have different ways that they make things stronger. The thing that just came to my mind was in a when they make swords, there's a great science of sword making. In fact, probably the whole metallurgy science is developed by making swords for battles. And what they do is they heat it up till it gets red hot, and then they put it against a very hard thing, usually called an anvil, and then they take a big hammer and they hit it. And then they fold it over and they hit it again, they fold it over, and they keep making it stronger and stronger. So for us, we're sharpening the sword of knowledge. And the sword of knowledge is service to the spiritual master. That's how you sharpen it. So the same way, sometimes this material nature, it has to act in such a way, under the direction of Krishna, this divine energy of mind. No one overcomes this divine energy unless they surrender. So it acts, it's a dual-edged sword, that it acts in two ways. One, it acts to protect you. And the other way, if you're not surrendering, you'll feel something else. What will you feel from the material energy if you're not surrendering and there's something difficult going on in your life? Anybody? Pain. This place is a dukkhaliya mashashvatam. It's a place of suffering, a place of misery. So the only way one overcomes that is by surrendering. So we do that by this philosophical. So if you're seeing through the eyes of Scripture and you're seeing everything, you may not even know, but that's preliminary stages of prema. Because who sees Krishna everywhere? We just read that, I think that was actually Saturday's verse, Nijja Ishta Dev Sporti. And it says, for the Mahabhagavat, all he sees is Krishna. And what else do they say about those same persons? Is Premanjana. So it is Premanjana. We're being trained to see everything like that. And then the tests are coming just to make us stronger. Sometimes I call them slingshots, you know, or a bow or slingshot or... I think those will probably work. That in order to go forward, sometimes it appears that you're going backwards. Like if you want a little projectile to go forward, if you have either a bow or a slingshot, you pull it way back, right? You pull it back and it's hard and it's difficult and there's some things, but then it goes forward with great force. So when difficulties come in our life, we see that this is actually Krishna giving us an opportunity to go forward, which seems a little bit funny when you think about it in the preliminary part. But with this knowledge, you can see this is giving me the opportunity to increase my determination, my desire to pray. You pray. When you're in trouble, you really pray intensely. And as the Queen Kunti says, people that are trying to improve their lives, Aishwarya, Shribir, with good janma, with good birth, opulence, education, they don't have the same intensity in their prayers. They don't call out the same way. But when the pain of this world is so nice in that sense that it gives us the intensity to pray more sincerely. And then, of course, there's what's the other verse that comes to mind? Who knows the one comes to mind? No participators. 10th chapter, 10th canto, chapter 14, text 8. Okay, I like the numbers. Anybody want to say it? Tate nukampam shushmanam. That one's a real tongue twister for me. But anyway, there it is, it's that Krishna, just like he says in the Bhagavad Gita, if you learn to tolerate, you can become liberated. And here's this, why is that? Because you're always putting the philosophy above your conditioning. And if you put the philosophy above your conditioning, then you're liberated. Because yam yam api smar bhavam, you're moving in the direction of always listening. So what can we do about our mind in the sense that we were born with it and it's conditioned with this body? But Krishna is giving us this philosophy, this intelligence, this knowledge of being able to see what is matter, what is spirit. And if you see matter and spirit, you're seeing two. But because you're seeing the spirit, you're seeing one. You're seeing that this matter is, whose matter is it? Whose Maya is this anyway? Oh, this is Krishna's Maya. Oh, so when you see it as Krishna's Maya, it's not the same as being absorbed in Maya. Even though we have our challenges, we see that these challenges are what's needed to, this is our obstacle course to increase our determination, to be able to pray and bring it up to the surface. There's a system of education called the Socratic method from Socrates. And he says, you already know everything. You just have to bring it up to the surface. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem. You already have love for Krishna, but you have to bring it up to the surface. So, and that means to, in each situation, be able to understand it. And if there's any doubt, you overcome the doubt. Because what's Krishna say? These doubts are compared to demons. And what happens? What's the siddhanta of a demon? So much is mine today. More will be mine tomorrow. So how the whole world is running on this principle, overcome by I and mine. They're thinking, and we went over that the last class about if you have a friend that's at your place and is putting something in your pocket, how that feels. So we're seeing here how to, that Krishna, he's right there in Brahma Samhita. Bhakti Siddhanta calls Krishna the all-pervading, what's it again? The all-pervading transcendence is eternally situated in acts of sacrifice. That's Bhagavad Gita. But what is it? Oh, well, the autocrat. Anyway, so I did write it down, but I have trouble remembering it. I wrote down the next one, where Lord Chaitanya has recommended it in the same verse that we enter into the meanings of this, the Brahma Samhita verse. So remembering Krishna, always remembering Krishna. This matchless beauty of Krishna. Okay, well. Sorry. But this, how Krishna, he's the all-pervading transcendence. So Krishna is situated in everything, in our hearts, in this philosophy, in our minds. This yoga connects us, stay in touch. So you can always be with Krishna because that's the philosophy that we're being taught by. Prabhupada's prana mantra is Nirvisesha Sunyavani, Gauravani, Nirvisesha Sunyavani. So Lord Chaitanya is telling us how to keep in touch with Krishna. And he also points out how it's not Nirvisesha, it's not Sunyavani. So what is all-pervading is Krishna's all-pervading. It's not the siddhanta of voidism, it's not the siddhanta of sense gratification, it's the siddhanta of prema, bhakti. That's our siddhanta. And that's situated in every word of this philosophy. So as we learn this and we apply it, we go through the challenges, you'll find yourself becoming happier and happier because you're always associating directly. Krishna is directly in his holy name. Lord Chaitanya has taught this process to associate with Krishna through his holy name. And that will deliver you to prema bhakti. And with the philosophy, this gives us our footing. So no matter what happens, like here, when we read these verses about Rukmi, it almost seems hilarious. And we see that the commentators, they're making light of it. But for him, he was very serious because the materialists, they'll come to us, the mind will come to us, and they're all very serious. There's some principle. He's willing to die for these principles. isn't it? Every one of us is dying for some principle. We live by some principle and we die by some principle. Most people live by the principle of sense gratification. And when you talk about philosophy, an easy way to understand philosophy is it takes one thing and puts it in the center, that this is the most important thing, and they build everything to support that one point. So the Western world, it's either money, and money is for sense gratification. That's their philosophy. Be happy by enjoying sense gratification. And in every word and everything they say, that's in there. And we take that center out, and we put Krishna's center in, that everything is to be used in Krishna's service. That's our philosophy. That's our position. Their position is to think that they're sense gratifiers. But we understand they're under the laws of material energy. There's a lot of flaws in their philosophy. And we actually have to know those flaws so when they come up in our own mind, what's that about? Asat Sangha Tiag, E Vaishnav Charan. That's not external association only. That's also internal association. So when we hear something, we have to know. In fact, if you take the problem that you have, make that the pillar of success. Make, because that's, isn't that what they call it? Failure is the pillar of success. So I did something. It caused me a problem. Let me not take a mode of passion response to deal with it. It's too much trouble. It caused me. No, take it to the, use it to bring it to the absolute plane. And then you'll also find some amazing things out there because you'll see Krishna in it, even more so than just like karma or the different things that we come up with without taking it to the Siddhanta. So that's, we take any questions or comments, and so we're all being trained to see a hoaxaja. Yes, you have a question? Yeah, all the way in the back on the right. Thank you.
Prabhu, you mentioned that this knowledge, this transcendental knowledge, is everlasting. Did you say
and
that?
And joyful performed. Yeah, well, okay. I could
have. Is that similar to devotional service performed is in our bank account? So
oh,
this
yeah.
knowledge is in our bank account as well?
Oh, yeah. That's a fact. There's 9 processes that Prahlada Maharaj recommended that are always accepted by all our acharyas at the process of pure devotional service, and one of them is hearing. So how do you know any of this knowledge? It's because you heard it. And then the process of hearing, you hear from persons that are in line, that this hearing process, what we're hearing, this is a continuation of the 4 nutshell verses that Lord Brahma heard from Krishna, which was revealed within his heart. We also notice that the spiritual master reveals knowledge within your heart. So it's revealed knowledge in the heart. So he was pleased with his sambandha, that he was executing his devotional service with the proper understanding. We call it sambandha or sadhana or penance. They're all the same. It's connecting us to Krishna properly. Everything that we do at the temple has built-in sambandha jnana already in it. It's hard to do anything wrong unless you're bringing in some contamination. But if you just hear to make advancement, that's what we're here for, right? We're here in this physical location to hear this knowledge. And there's no loss or diminution because hearing in itself, I got that one first time. All right. So hearing in itself is devotional service, which means it's eternal. And Raja Vidya, Raja Guyam, this knowledge of the king of education, the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self, is the perfection of religion, it is everlasting and joyful performed. Everlasting is the word we're shooting for there. So there it is. That and the thing is, you see, what's the word for see in Sanskrit? When you come the deities are to see you. What's it called when you come to let the deities see you? Darshan. Darshan means to see. So how about a tattva darshan? One should learn the truth from a tattva darshan because he has what seen what? The truth. So we're being trained to see the absolute truth, and the absolute truth in Krishna is not different. So this knowledge, it's just a preliminary stage of pure love of God. That's all it is. So because it's got the seed in it, that's what, like if you see a tree that makes apples, what do they call the tree? They call it an apple tree. So the thing is known by what the fruit is that it produces. So because it's producing prema, this knowledge is also prema in a stage that it develops into. So this is actually how we're being trained. We're being guided to see everything. See, again, you see. Where's Jiri Prabhu? You see? Thank you.
We were talking here about jnana, knowledge, and we're also talking about vijnana, realization. Oh. Would you say that in between that is prayer? I mean, if we're seeking to have that knowledge we're hearing all constantly, you read Prabhupada's books, you look at the memory tapes, you come in front of the deities, you come to Bhagavatam class, you hear again, knowledge. But we want to bring it from our head to our heart.
Well, you know, it's
realize knowledge. Would you say that in order to do that, the preliminary or the key to making that movement happen is prayer?
Well, that's certainly one way. I define words a little differently than most people. I call them functional definitions. You know, like for instance, preaching. Someone can say many definitions for preaching, but if you look at it by what it does, it means it increases the other person's desire to become a pure devotee. That's good preaching. So a boat, when it goes by, it leaves a wake. Let it be known by its fruit. So vijnana means you're doing it. That's all it means. You're doing it. Just like, for instance, I gave you a book on swimming. You read the book on swimming. I gave you a piece of paper, and I asked you 10 questions about swimming. You got all the questions right. So I gave you a certificate that now you know how to swim. But does that mean you know how to swim? No. So how do you know if you know how to swim? Is you get in the water. As soon as you're in the water, you'll find out right away if you know how to swim. And then after you go down one or two times, you say, oh, that's right. You put one hand over the other, and you're supposed to breathe. So let me do it. So when you apply the knowledge that you got in devotional service, it's realized knowledge. Because when Lord Brahma was being instructed by Krishna, he says, I'm going to give you realized knowledge. So the realized knowledge, it's a little confusing the way we generally think of it, but it just means the knowledge that you can do. Because, see, knowledge you can't do is called mental speculation. It's not, you can't do it. It's not possible to be done. And there's a lot of that. Think that you're God, all right, I'm having the sun come up, I'm having the moon, and there's a lot of speculations. And the thing about speculations is you can't do it. It's just a theory. But this is called realized knowledge, which means it's practical in every way. You can do it. So when you do it, it's called realized knowledge or abhideya. It's a little tricky to understand. You know what I mean? It's another function. And we're dependent on mercy. So we say, yes, we're dependent on your mercy to have the realization. But the knowledge is already realized knowledge, which means all you have to do is do it. And then as soon as you do it, you know what'll happen? Oh, now I realize what you're talking about. See? No, you just have to do it. So every time that we come here, we're getting realizations. Sometimes we're looking for the big realization, you know, where just everything like what we call the aha, that boom, like with Narada Muni wakes up like lightning and illumination happens simultaneously. But as soon as you're doing it, you're realizing it. And that realization, oh, there's such a nice, thank you for reminding me of Adi Lila, volume, chapter 1, text 52. And it talks about Krishna has responsive qualities. And I just thought that was such an interesting way that Prabhupada talks about realization. When you realize Krishna is responsive qualities. So this realization, that what are those responsive qualities? Sometimes we call Param Jisva Navardante. You know that one? By experiencing a higher taste. So Krishna runs a stealth mode, especially Radharani. She's very stealth. She's hard to see in things unless you're looking, because she's shy. But so he talks about it like it's a taste. But what is that taste? Is it you? Are you? Well, you're the ones tasting it, but what are you tasting? And where is it coming from? So where's another word that's like that? Is Petrodia. Where is that coming from? Where is this taste coming from? Where is this that you're experiencing this? Krishna is very far away, but is very near as well. Thou art with me. I fear no evil. We're making the connection, bhakti yoga. So all the tests and those prayers, but prayers is another form of realization. Because when you're making that prayer, we're all hankering to feel Krishna's with us, to feel that presence, to feel that love. We want to feel love. That's why we do everything in this world. But the siddhanta is different here. You actually end up being frustrated and angry. And then you just live with it. And then you either become hard-hearted, I'm never going to do that again, or you become mean and you wish people bad things. Like most men and women relationships in this world, that they start off just like honeymoon and they end up in the courts, you know, with I never want to see you again, and I want all your money and energy without the energetic. So, but where is it perverted from? Prabhupada explains that we're samples. We're just little samples of Krishna. And we can see, just like Rukmi today, he was acting just like he was Krishna. He was saying everything just like he was Krishna. If Krishna was saying these things, there wouldn't be anything wrong with what he said. Maybe it was a little pointed, but he speaks like that from time to time for the benefit of the conditioned soul. So every one of us is imitating Krishna. And now this sambandha, or the penance from the Christian angle of vision, is painful. But for a devotee's angle of vision, it's not painful, it's wonderful. Yes, sir? You had a question?
I'm really appreciating your class, bringing a few philosophical points on how to deal with our mind, because, you know, a lot of our philosophy is coming from, you know, other ages, and if we don't know how to bring it, like in 2014, you know, it's just floating out there, it's different ideas, but I really appreciated when you were talking about that our mind and our bodies are basically a product of our, you know, previous activities and previous lives and everything, and we have to deal with that on not only on a daily basis, but on every moment basis, basically.
Yes, that's why you're always supposed to chant. Mm-hmm. And they bring up another nice point, is religion is generally for a time and circumstance, a detail of a eternal principle because of the particular cultural biases and things. So because Krishna consciousness is non-sectarian, we're learning the principles, and the people who oppose us are the ones that are stuck in a religion that's now the principles being obscured by what they call it, the devils in the details. So they're caught in a idea of not being able, it's not going to be realized knowledge because they're missing the principle again, and they're becoming fanatics and sectarian. So this Krishna consciousness is perfection of religion, of all religions, because we know how to apply the principle to every particular situation. And that's what we're talking about, understanding the principles, where they have just a detail what that'll work in a specific situation, time and space, but then time and space change all the time. Mm-hmm. And then if they don't change it to keep the principle alive, then they become a mundane religion, and they're actually the enemies of religion. Mm-hmm. And they, for the most part, they're the most dangerous, the religionists and the impersonalists. So when Prabhupada came, he's the Acharya, he reestablishes the eternal religious principles for the benefit of everyone. Mm-hmm. And they're non-envious, kind friend to everyone. So to learn that is a wonderful thing.
You were talking about the central ideas, like, let's say, well, for the Hare Krishnas, or their philosophy is to put Krishna in the center, and everything that revolves around that is, you know, to basically please Krishna.
But
just one. And as far as, you know, materialistic are concerned, they put like the money or whatever in the middle, and, you know, everything that revolves around that is, you know, basically around sex and money and whatever, power. What about if a devotee, like, even like we're definitely even at the beginning of a devotional service, there's definitely a lot of mixes, you know, like you can be a devotee, but still a lot of people being a devotee, they still want to enjoy success, and they, very few people, you know, wants to live in a, you know, bad house, or, you know, with little money or little success or anything like that.
Is that Krishna conscious means you got to live in a bad house with no money? That doesn't seem right to me either.
No, what I'm saying,
you don't
is
have to.
Few people are not like attracted to some kind of level of success or something like that. Even
but Lord Chaitanya accepted from Ramananda Roy that 10.14.3 verse by Lord Brahma, you stay whatever condition of life you're in, just add Krishna. Just add hearing about Krishna. Just read the books. That's the way it starts out. And it follows a natural progression. When Rupa Goswami moved out of his mansion and had a boatload of gold and gave it all away, he wasn't missing those things. It wasn't that he was following some hard line principle of giving 50%. He actually made the rule. He didn't even notice. After a while, you'll notice that matter sticks to consciousness. So as your consciousness changes, the matter that you required before may disappear from your life. It just like the electric magnet, it holds so many filings to it. But as your interest in the material energy is being changed, then you may give up so many things. But then again, if you start using them in Krishna's service, you may get tremendous wealth given to you to use in Krishna's service. And you gave such a wonderful definition of a word that we all use. And I just thought that center that you revolve around, in, you know what they call that in India? It's called a meti. It's a pole they put in the ground, and they have a big, strong ox walk around this pole to generate. Sometimes they crush grains, or they hook to a PTO and they run a machine off of it. So most people, they have a griha. You know what the griha is? A griha is a house. There's grihavratas. They've taken a vow, but the griha meti. Have you never heard the word? Boy, we're slipping if we haven't heard that word for a while. Used to hear that one more often, that there's grihamatis and there's grihastras, that they live in an ashram. So the only difference is that you go on hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, and everything takes its time, because anything done artificial is only artificial, and repression is not good. So if you hear, there's changes that'll start to blossom, even a little bit, and then you see if you're starting to go to the light, or if you put the shade down because you want more sleep. If it's time to wake up, Jeev Jago, Jeev Gora Chandra Bole, Vivashe, the song that he sang today, is it's time to get up. This is an opportunity. And when you realize what an opportunity it is, some people wake up and it takes them a while. They stretch. They kind of like, what day is it? They look at the calendar. They splash water on their face. And other people, they wake up and they're ready to go. So when we hear this knowledge, some of us wake up faster than others. But the fact that you're connected, you're hearing, you're chanting, everything in the Nectar Instruction, text 3, Prabhupada points out that you'll be dragged back to Godhead by this philosophy, by this mercy that you're getting. So don't have any worries. Just don't make offenses. Jai. Is that good enough? Jai, all glories to Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.